Who's ready for a new look?
We are a society who in many ways are obsessed with this new look. We spend billions of dollars a year on new looks, like things that come from Botox, nose jobs, facelifts, chemical peels, fat injections, hair regrowth, teeth whitening, chin reshaping, breast augmentation, tummy tucks, cheek lifts, LASIK, lip fills, butt implants, eyelid reshaping, ear jobs, jaw recontouring, cosmetic dentistry, and liposuction, and I am sure there's some that I have forgotten. And I admit it, I have been and continue to be caught up somewhat in this obsession. It wasn't too long ago that I gave myself for my 50th birthday the gift of no more hair color. Did you notice? Anyone? For a while, maybe 15 years ago, I also really tried hard to make this circle of light. See that there? I tried to make that circle of light in the back of my head disappear through whatever method possible. I guess now that the gray is starting to set in, the circle of light is less visible. Am I right? I don't know. It'd probably be better if I didn't care at all. What is it about new looks? Think about what kind of new look you recently have gotten or wish you could have. You don't have to tell anyone what it is, but just spend a moment thinking about it, that new look. If you've done a new look, when you did it, how did people react? Or if you didn't do it, how do you think people would react if you did? And what's your reason for wanting that new look? We, at St. Paul's, we're imagining and discussing and arguing about a new look for the sanctuary and the entire building and grounds at St. Paul's. Already this morning, there's somewhat of a new look as we tinker with ways to make things better. Or maybe we're just going for an updated look, or a reimagined yet historical look, or a small change, or a large change. It's funny that as society and as people, we're obsessed with getting a new look, and at the same time, we want all the things that we've determined should be unchanging to either never change or to go back to the way they were. In many ways, we're people who want new energy, new passion and new life without ever having to change at all. So I want to tell you about some people in the Bible who changed. They got a new look. First, there's Moses. You know, baby in a basket, flees Egypt as a young man after killing a guard, turns into Charlton Heston out in the desert, meets God with the burning bush, leads the Hebrew people out of bondage in Egypt, and brings down the whole Ten Commandments thing. He's one of the featured characters in the Bible, obviously. So in a reading in the Old Testament, Moses goes up to the mountain, and he goes into this, call it a God cloud. When he comes down with the tablets, his face is glowing. And the people react with fear. But they believe that he's glowing because he'd been in God's presence. And Moses hid his face from them with a veil, except just after he came down from the mountain. He showed his face to prove he'd been where he was, and then he covered it up. And some say that Moses covered his face not to keep the people from being afraid, but because his glow faded. After a while, he didn't want people to lose trust in him because he didn't have the God glow anymore. But at any rate, Moses changed. He got this new look. He glowed, and the people said, "It's from God." And then there's another person. She is closely related to Moses. Miriam is Moses' sister. She was the one that arrived just after the princess had drawn Moses out of the water and offered to have him cared for. She was a prophetess, one of the first praise song leaders. She's the one who led the Hebrew people in song after they had been delivered from the Egyptians through Yam Suf, translated often as Red Sea, but more accurately translated as the Sea of Reeds. Another story there. And then in Numbers 12, we hear that Miriam was also in the God cloud. Circumstances were a little different this time, though. She was in the cloud after criticizing Moses for marrying a person that she didn't approve of. And then when the cloud was gone, guess what? Miriam was glowing. The Bible says that her skin, however, wasn't glowing with God, but rather she had a skin disease. Miriam asked for forgiveness, and then after a week, her skin had returned to normal. So Miriam, she changed. She got a new look from God. And the people said it was a skin disease. And then finally, let's look at today. The transfiguration of Jesus. Jesus took Peter, John, and James up to the mountain to pray, and then there were two more people there. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah were there with Jesus, and his face and his clothes were glowing. Peter was bewildered. He was really tired. He didn't know what to say. He suggested that they put up three dwellings for Jesus and his friends. Most people look at that and say he was just talking nonsense because he was tired, but there's a possibility that it's something different. Not knowing exactly what to do with this glowing and appearing situation, Peter decided to offer hospitality. Tents he talked about were likely tabernacles, dwelling places to worship God. Or maybe he really didn't know what he was talking about. Continuing, however, the God cloud comes into play again this time. It's after the glowing this time. But God lets everyone know, lest they were confused at what was going on, that Jesus was the one. And then everyone left and didn't talk about it. Jesus changed. He got this new look. And Peter was bewildered, and then he was silent. Three changes, very similar changes, three reactions: fear and awe, disdain and repulsion, bewilderment and silence. You know, people react to changes differently. People reacted to the changes from God in these three people from the Bible differently, too. Now, I know that while there are real similarities in these changes, there's also some glaring differences. The changes that we do, whether it's our faces, our bodies, whatever it is, our dwelling places, they are for us and pretty much originated, initiated by us in order to feel better about ourselves or about the places we dwell. The changes from the Bible passages are initiated by God for God's purpose, and the ones who are changed have very little, if anything, to do with what happened. But the reactions from others are still unpredictable. I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting a new look or a way to feel better. I think there is something wrong with our cultural obsession with perfection. I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to make changes to make things better. I support those kinds of things. And we always have to be mindful that our desire to change or not change, well, we have to be mindful that it isn't born out of selfish reasons. So, this idea of change, and change happens, we know, and some changes are bigger than others, and some changes are initiated from different places, but how can we take this idea of change, the whole idea of change, and understand it unselfishly and selflessly? There, it comes from Jesus again, the teachings from Matthew chapter 5. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So the change isn't about us doing better. It's about what God is doing continuously. And it isn't about us looking better. It's about how God is shaping and guiding us. It isn't about garnering respect and accolades. It's about recognizing God's love and sharing it with everyone. Moses, Miriam, and Jesus glowed because God made them glow. We have Jesus' light because God gives it to us. So this week, not so much unlike other weeks, but this week, because we've got Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, we're going to be in God's presence. After all, there is nowhere that God is not. So, of course, we're going to be in God's presence. But while we're in God's presence, we probably won't start glowing like Moses or Miriam or Jesus did. But I think we're going to see opportunities to experience and live into the way that God is changing us anyway. So what will the change be like? I don't know. I don't think it will be the result of anything that we initiate, really. It's going to be all God. It may be something like a new perspective. It may be something that others notice right away and have no idea what's going on. So this week, try to keep track of reactions. Some people are going to react to whatever is going on with you with a little bit of fear. Others may not be pleased at all with what's going on, and still others might be a little bewildered. But be assured, God is active, and God is working. We get to trust and to follow and to let God lead us. As through God, we truly are changed. Amen.